Great stuff. Right, we are at the moment in Christchurch going through a series that's a bit different to normal. Normally here at Christchurch, we would take a book of the Bible and we'd read through it chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and think about what it teaches us today. What we're doing from now until Easter is instead of looking at one book of the Bible, we're looking at the whole Bible and thinking about what are the big things that it teaches us. What are the core truths that it teaches us? And that's what we're going to do today. I want you to start, though, by imagining if one day, a message came to us from outer space. Would that be amazing? If a message came to us from outer space, I imagine all the scientists, all the government officials, all the language experts in the world would get very excited. Be on the front page of every newspaper, a message from another world. Or imagine if one day an explorer was hacking her way through the jungle and she discovered a new tribe, a new civilization. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be fascinating to learn about them and see what we could learn from them? A message from another civilization? Or imagine if one day you're rooting in your attic and you come across a letter written by your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma. Wouldn't it be amazing to learn about life back when she was alive? A message from another time. All of those sorts of messages would be incredible to hear and read, wouldn't they? And yet, the book that you are handed on your way into church this morning, that sat on your laps or under your chair or in your hands, is far greater and more precious than any of those things. Because the Bible is not just a message from another world, it's a message from the one who made the world. The Bible is not just wisdom from another civilization, it's the truth from the one who has made all civilization. It's not just a story from our past. It's the story of our whole lives, past, present, and future. And that's because the Bible is God's word. Words given to us by God. Words given to men and women over hundreds of years and written down for us. One of those men was called Jeremiah, and God said this to him: I have put my words in your mouth. Write in a book all the words I have given you. And that's what he did. In the book of Exodus, we can read about God meeting Moses on the top of Mount Sinai. And Acts chapter 7, verse 38 tells us that Moses received living words from God to pass on to us. Yeah, the Bible is written down by men and women like Moses and Jeremiah and maybe Ruth and Esther. But it tells us they weren't writing their own thoughts or words. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this: all scripture is God-breathed. It's not just inspired by God. It's expired by God. The Bible is the perfect word of God. Now, I don't know what you think of the Bible. Maybe that sounds a bit far-fetched to you. If it doesn't to you, it would certainly sound far-fetched to some of the people you know. But I want you to consider this. The Bible has been the best-selling book every single year since they started counting how many books are sold every single year. Every single year. More people buy the Bible than any other book in the world, except for one year. I wonder if you knew this. In 2005, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince sold more copies than the Bible. But don't forget, that same year, millions of copies of the Bible were given away for free. And many more millions of people read the Bible online. And what happened in 2006? Not many people bought Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, but do you know where the Bible went back to? Number one. In fact, despite having been in print for over 600 years, sales of the Bible are still increasing year on year. Maybe you've got an app on your phone. There are lots of different Bible apps available. One of them's called YouVersion. It's been downloaded more than 850 million times. And on the 5th of January this year, more people downloaded it than on any other day so far. 798,000 people downloaded it on one day. Apparently, according to YouVersion, at any one moment of any day, around the world, 66,000 people are reading the Bible on their app. Only two books in the world have been translated into more than 300 languages. You'll never guess the other one. It's called The Little Prince. It's a children's book, and it's been translated into 380 languages. It's 96 pages long. It's full of lovely illustrations. The Bible, that's been translated into 380 languages. The Bible's been translated into 3,356 languages. And it's somewhere between 1,200 and 1,700 pages long. Queen Elizabeth said this: "To what greater inspiration and counsel can we turn than to the imperishable truth to be found in this treasure house, the Bible?" Abraham Lincoln said this: "The Bible is the best gift God has given to man. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we would not know right from wrong." The Bible is, without a doubt, the most amazing book in history. Why? Well, the Bible tells us, and Christians believe, it's because it's the Word of God. He is the supreme author of the Bible. But is the Bible that you've got in your hands, or on your lap, or under your seat, is that Bible the same Bible that God gave us? Or has it been lost in time and translation? Well, that's what we're going to think about after we've sung another song. But I need to tell you two things before we sing this song, okay? The first is this. While we're singing the song, we're going to have a little competition in our sort of sections, okay? So this one, this section here, this section here, this section here. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to tell someone on the back row a message, okay? I'm going to tell it to them once, and then I want them to tell one person in the row in front of them that message, just once. And then they're going to pass it on to one person in the row in front of them, all the way down to the front, okay? Can you do that while we sing the next song? Okay. That's one thing that you need to know. The second thing is this, very important. We've got Jaffa cakes after the service. Great stuff. Do have a seat. And hopefully I've got one person from the front row here, one person from the front row here, and one person from the front row here. In fact, there's only one person on the front row there, so I'm assuming it's you, Sergey. Could you guys come up? Okay. Joshua, is this one on? Great stuff. Have you got the message in your minds? Okay, don't change it when you hear the others. They might have it wrong. Okay, should we start with Sergey? Okay, Sergey, what message did you receive?
Very good breakfast, I think. Cold cupcakes, cold quickly.
Cold cupcakes, cold quickly. Okay, Annie, what did you hear?
Cool cupcakes, cooled quickly.
Cool cupcakes, cooled quickly. Theo, what did you hear?
Jaffa cakes quickly.
Jaffa cakes quickly. Shall we see what the real answer is? Okay, wait a second, I'll put it in my pocket. It is cooked cupcakes cool quickly. Very good. Now, some people would say that's what's happened to the Bible. It's been passed from one person to the next and lost in translation. After all, there weren't computers back when the Bible were given. There weren't photocopiers. And we don't have any of the originals. So surely the Bible's been lost in translation. Well, I don't think so. And here's why. In the ancient world, not anyone could make a copy of the Old Testament. In fact, there were professionals called scribes whose job it was to make copies. They used materials that would last and a special ink that wouldn't fade, and they took their job incredibly seriously. Each day before copying a passage of the Bible, they would wash all over. And then as they wrote each word, they would say it out loud. Each time they had to write one of the names for God, they would clean their pen, get fresh ink, and write his name. Every time they had to write the special name, Yahweh, for God, they would go and have another wash, and then come back and write the word Yahweh. When they'd finished copying a page, they would check the number of lines on the original and the number of lines on the copy. They checked that it started with the same word and ended with the same word and had the same middle word in the middle, same word in the middle and the same letter in the middle. If a page had a single mistake, they didn't cross it out, they didn't use Tippex, they threw away the whole page and started again. If a page had three mistakes on it, they would throw away the entire manuscript and start again. That's how carefully the Bible was copied. In fact, in 1946, some scrolls were found containing part of the Old Testament that were 1,000 years older than the previous earliest manuscript we had. And they compared these two documents, 1,000 years apart, and they were 95% identical. And the 5% that there were variations on made no difference to the significance of what was written. Jesus quoted from the Old Testament hundreds of times. He called it the Word of God. He never quoted from any other books. What we have in the Old Testament is exactly what we were given. But what about Jesus and his words? After all, he never wrote any books. He never wrote anything down. He just taught his disciples. And they taught others, and they taught others. Maybe things got lost in translation that way. So let me ask you a question. What did I tell you about biscuits just before the song? Does anyone remember? Henry, what did I say? There'd be Jaffa cakes. Is Henry right? Can he check with other people? Could he ask me, is that what I said? Yeah, because I didn't just say it to one person, right? I said it to, 100 people. And you could ask, and you could check, did Dim say Jaffa cakes? I think he said Jaffa cakes. Yes. Because lots of people heard it at the same time. You see, Chinese whispers, that's the game we just played, that only works when one person tells one person just once. It doesn't work if you have a conversation about it. It doesn't work if you told everyone in the row in front of you, and then everyone in the row in front of you turned around and said, can I just check you said this and this? We can be sure that what was said has been passed on to us. And before they died, the apostles made sure that what they'd learned from Jesus was written down. And what they wrote down was copied and translated with the greatest care thousands and thousands of times. And we can compare those copies. Let me show you what I mean. Let's quickly compare the Bible to some of the other ancient books that we have. So, this is a man called Herodotus. Herodotus was a very important historian in 480 BC. In fact, what he wrote is how we know a lot about the ancient world. Now, we don't have any of the originals that he wrote either. Sorry, here's his name, Herodotus. What we have is 109 copies of what he wrote, so we can compare them, see if we've got them right. The earliest copy we have was written 1,400 years after he wrote the original. That's Herodotus. Here's another ancient person who looks like he's got a cold, but I think that's just the way the marble has worn. This is a man called Homer. He was a very famous Greek poet, 800 years BC. And his most famous poem perhaps is called the Iliad. This is Homer. We've got 1,757 copies of the Iliad. We don't have the original. We've got these copies. We can compare them to one another to see if what we have is what Homer wrote. The earliest copy we have of the Iliad was written 400 years after he wrote the original. Now, how about the New Testament? How does that compare to other ancient writings? Well, the New Testament was written somewhere between, the different bits of it were written between 50 and 130 AD. We've got 23,769 copies, either in full or in part, of the New Testament that we can compare with one another to make sure that we have the real thing. And the earliest one we have is just 30 to 80 years after the original was written. In other words, we can be sure that the Bible we have, the Bible you're holding, the Bible on your lap, the Bible under your seat, is the very same word that God gave to us, that Jesus spoke, translated with the greatest care into English for us. Now, what does all of that mean? We're going to find out after we've sung another song. Now, before the service started, I asked some of you to help me write a story. So if you've been helping me write a story, can you come up to the front now? And as they come up, I wonder if you've ever played that game. If not, you can play it over lunch, if you're having lunch with people. You write the first, yeah, come up if you've helped me write a story. You write the first line of a story, and then you fold it over and pass the bit of paper to the person next to you, and they write the next line of the story, they fold it over, pass it to the person next to them, and then at the end you sort of unravel it all and you read the story. Now, I've asked these guys to write the start, the middle, and end of a story. Okay, so who's on start? Who wrote the start? Ellen and Hannah. Hannah, do you want to come this side, and you stay there? Who's on the middle? I got the middle. Who's got the middle? You've got a middle. Thomas, do you want to come over with Hannah? Have we got another middle? No, are you an end as well? Henry, do you want to come this side? Is there another middle? Yes, at the back. Great stuff. Thomas, come on up. So we've got a start. Are you the end, Jean? Jean, do you want to come stand this side? Thomas, you can stand in the middle. Is this on? Yes, great stuff. Okay, let's see how they went. Okay, so start, middle, end of story number one.
When everything was still in black and white, because God hadn't created colour yet, there was a very frustrated zebra. He wanted to be colourful. He asked God every day for colour, and when God didn't answer, he took up knitting so he could make a new coat.
Unfortunately, disaster struck when Danny forgot that Thomas had brought a trumpet and that he had stood up ready to play rock and roll as loudly as possible.
And they all lived happily ever after.
I mean, thank you very much. Have a seat. You just can't write this stuff. Okay, let's see what story number two. Are you the end? Are you the middle?
Yes.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy and a little girl who had gone for a day out to the beach. They were enjoying an ice cream, two scoops with sprinkles and a flake, when...
Unfortunately, disaster struck when a miscommunication between the organisers meant that no biscuits were provided after the church service, resulting in the congregation being very hungry.
There was the battle of all battles between good and evil. It was a long, hard battle, won over many years. Many lives were lost. The good guys conquered the evil and won the eternal treasure of the universe.
Great stuff. Have a seat. Amazing. Amazing. What wonderful authors we have here in Christchurch. The Bible was written over a span of about 1,500 years. It was written by as many as 40 different authors. It was written in many different countries and in three different languages. And yet from start to finish, from Genesis to Revelation, it tells one story about one God. Because he's the author. God has spoken to us. He's given his words to us through different people over the years, and they've been collected together and handed to us in this book that we call the Bible. I don't know how many copies of the Bible I've got in my house. It's probably about 20. We've got a stack of them on the shelf on the way into church. They get beaten up and bashed around. Sometimes they get put on a shelf and forgotten all about. But do you see how incredible and how incredibly precious this book is? It is without doubt the most amazing gift that we have, that God has given so that we would know Jesus. God gave it to us so that we would know him and so that we would know life. So I'm going to invite Rachel to that microphone over there. And she's going to read for us some verses from the Bible. The Bible doesn't give us every answer to every question that we have. It doesn't tell us how to do our maths homework or fix the microwave when it goes wrong. Instead, it tells us everything we need to know about God and about life, about right and wrong, about how we can have hope and joy and peace and love and life forever. Thanks, Rachel.
Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Luke 11, verse 28. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Psalm 19, verse 10 to 11. God's words are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward.
Let me pray for us before we sing our final song. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this most amazing and precious gift, your word, the Bible. Dear Heavenly Father, as we prayed earlier, we want to thank you so much for all those who work so hard to write it down and to copy it and to pass it on and to translate it so that today we can have it in our hands, in our homes, on our laps, in our lives. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've spoken to us so we don't need to guess what's right and wrong, what's true or not. Thank you so much that you've spoken to us so we don't have to sort of pool our best ideas or our wisdom to know how life works. Instead, we can listen to the one who made life and made our world. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we're so sorry that so often we don't bother to read it. We say, oh, I wish God would tell me this or that. But we don't even read the words you've already told us. Please forgive us. And please give us hearts that are hungry to read your word every day, every week here at Christ Church. Because they are more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. They lead to life and love and hope and joy and peace. Help us, we pray, to treasure your word and to pass it on to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.